This is PhotoBizX, episode number 558, and today we have a pet photographer as our special guest. She's based in Utah in the United States, and she recently hired a photography business coach, which led to her biggest ever sale. And she did that by overcoming a few things, but in particular, creating a price list that allows her customers to spend so much more than the way she had it set up previously. We go into all that and a ton more. Our special guest is Kim Kuhlman, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here, host of the PhotoBizX podcast, where I interview guests from around the world to help you build a better photography business even faster than going it alone. And I know you're going to love today's guest, Kim Kuhlman, in that interview that's coming up in just a minute. Before we do get into that, I am going to keep the intro and outro pretty short today because I am away from my home-based studio. I'm recording up in the Hunter Valley, the beautiful Hunter Valley. Linda booked a couple of days away after I missed seeing her all last week while I was away in Bright. And funnily enough, I'm staying on a golf course here in the Hunter Valley, and there are machines running up and down the fairways. It is beautiful, but it's quite noisy. So we're going to jump into things in just a minute. Before we do get into the photography business side of things, I have to tell you, when I was away in Bright last week and yesterday here on the golf course in the Hunter Valley, I've got to play golf in both places, and we were surrounded by kangaroos in both locations. Now, I know if you are an Aussie-based photographer, that won't be so exciting, but if you are an overseas listener to the podcast, you probably love the idea of being around kangaroos, and there were literally hundreds down in Bright. One of my buddies, Joel, just about hit one in the head with a golf ball. Luckily enough, it just came to rest on one of the kangaroo's tails, a different kangaroo to the one that he nearly hit in the head. They are very tough. They're very, very big, especially the male kangaroos. You do not want to get into a fight with one of those things, that is for sure. But they are a spectacular animal. And even being an Aussie myself, I still love seeing the kangaroos. They are really an incredible animal. So if you subscribe to my emails, look out this week for an email from me. I'll try and put a photo or two, or maybe even a video snippet of the kangaroos that we were playing around and through on the golf course in Bright and here in the Hunter Valley. Anyway, enough of golf, and don't get me started on the cycling. We're here to talk photography business. If you didn't catch last week's episode with Brendan Taylor from Baby Art Studios in the UK, make sure you get back and have a listen to that one. I interviewed Brendan last year for the first time amongst some controversy. It seemed that he had ruffled a few feathers of the female newborn photographers in the UK and had attracted, a lot of hate. I don't know why. It seemed to be a little unfounded to me. I spoke to a few photographers over there who really despised Brendan, but no one could actually say what he'd done wrong. So I was happy to have him back on the podcast for last week's episode, and he really, really over-delivered in regards to lead generation, lead qualification, booking fantastic leads, taking them from someone who thought they might want just the digital files into fantastic wall art purchasing clients. So get back and have a listen to that one if you haven't had a chance. And if you do like what Brendan shares, he does also have a photography group on Facebook where he will be chiming, well, I know he is chiming in regularly, so you can get business updates and ideas and bounce things around inside that group if you are that way inclined. So that's Brendan Taylor's episode 557 in last week's podcast.
You're listening to PhotoBiz Exposed with your host, Andrew Helmich.
If you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. Now, what that does mean is you will not hear the full interview today with Kim. I am saving a large portion of the second half for premium members only. The good news, you can access the full interview for as little as $1 with a 30-day trial membership. There are more details about that over at photobizx.com/try.
Welcome to
to another great eye for business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
I've been exchanging emails with today's guest since the launch of the recent AI course specifically, and even before that. In the emails, we got into the weeds about AI and its implications on photography business, in particular SEO, blog post creation, recording client calls over Zoom and using Otter AI to create transcripts of the conversations and summarize them. And we're also chatting about her taking on a new photography business coach, which has led to an $18,000 sale. She still can't believe it, which was six times her highest sale to date. Now, in regards to her business, she is a pet photographer based in Utah in the US. She's also the founder and CEO of Blue Sky Digital Strategy, a small digital agency that specializes in WordPress web design, security and hosting, as well as search engine optimization or SEO, content and email marketing, and social media management for small businesses. I'm talking about Kim Kuhlman of Chili Dog Photography, and I'm rapt to have her with us now. Kim, welcome.
Thanks, Andrew. Happy to be here.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about your business first. So you're based in Utah. I know it snows there in the winter because I've been skiing in Utah. Is it an all-year business? Are you only shooting outside? Are you shooting studio? Give us an idea of what you're doing.
Well, I'm shooting both indoor and outdoor, studio and outdoor. It is somewhat seasonal. We don't have snow on the ground right now in the valleys. It's been a really dry winter in Salt Lake City and surrounding area, except up in the mountains, they're doing really well snow-wise, which is a good thing. Most of my clients that have come in this last couple of months through my marketing are opting for spring sessions outdoors, but I do have occasionally some that want to do the traditional studio portraits, most of the time on black backgrounds. In fact, I just had a family of six boxers booked this morning for a studio session.
I mean, I'm not a dog photographer, but I can't think of a tougher breed to photograph, especially more than one of them, because they are a crazy dog, those boxers.
Yes, and we discussed that. We're probably going to do them in pairs or singly and then do a composite.
Wow, okay, great. So tell me a little, we're going to get into the sales and using a business coach and even hiring a business coach in the first place, but tell me about you and photography. Is this something you've always done? Is the business new? Is it old?
Some of both. It was a hobby / part-time business since about 95. I got paid for it starting in 2001. Dating myself here. I got started when a friend asked me to do all of the portraits at the 2001 National Amateur English Springer Spaniel Field Trial in California. We were living there at the time and my husband was participating. So that's how I dipped my toe into portraits. But I had been just shooting for myself for a number of years before that. And my husband had gotten me a camera, a film camera off of eBay, to keep me occupied while he was training the dogs. We would go up to the mountains north of LA most weekends to train our field bred English Springer Spaniels. So it kind of evolved with that.
So what was the catalyst to go full time?
Pivoting from my previous life as an engineering physicist and planetary scientist, NASA cutbacks, among other things, forced me to look for other options.
Well, okay, so you were photographing for money part-time and then your NASA job basically disappeared and then you went full-time?
Yeah.
Or
you
had to just jump in both feet?
Yeah, both my husband and I worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory for a number of years, and then he decided he wanted to go to vet school and he got in back in the University of Wisconsin. And so we moved back there and I moved to a nonprofit research institute that basically took 30% for fronting my proposals to the government, to NASA. And I worked out of the University of Wisconsin as an adjunct professor. But eventually even that money dried up. So, and I've been photographing not only dogs, but I was photographing horses. While we were in Southern California, I would photograph local jumpers, jumping competitions, agility trials for dogs. I did a Peruvian peso show once, things like that.
Wow. So I can imagine this is a huge change from being an engineer and writing papers for NASA. When you went full time, was it easy to replace the income that you were bringing in?
No. And we were moving around a lot as my husband was doing internships and residency, and now he's a small animal veterinary internist or internal medicine specialist. So, you know, I joke often that you would think we were in the military where we lived and how long we lived there.
Yeah, wow. So, okay, so, I mean, you started the business, you almost had, it sounds like you had to do something to bring in an income. You start the photography business. I imagine things are going okay, but you obviously hired a coach because I alluded to that fact in the intro. What led you to hiring a coach and who did you hire?
Well, Perinda was my second coach. When we moved to Utah, I got serious about making this a business. Up until about 3 years ago, I kind of treated it as a hobby that brought in money occasionally. I did a lot of competitions with PPA and got my master's, and I even had a Grand Imaging Award nominee image a few years back that was a dog from a shelter, actually. So I was doing mostly shelter work for a while. So my first coach was Alex Kearns. And I love Alex. She got me going with my in-person marketing, going to dog events, going to markets like the Park Silly Sunday Market, which has been very good for me. And got my tent. You know, I've got a custom design 10x10 tent that I haul up there and I sit all day on Sunday during the summer, maybe half the Sundays, and talk to people. And I show them my work. And that has been, I think that has been the real key to all of this, is building relationships. The family of boxers that I talked to this morning, they came in from Park Silly Sunday Market. So it's been months since I talked to her. And she came in at you know, full price session fee. So Alex taught a lot of Facebook marketing, and I've listened to you talk to Bernie, and it never worked out for me. And I often see people still banging their heads against the wall with Facebook, and I'm not a big fan of Facebook to begin with. So I've been going, doing more silent auctions, live auctions, getting out and trying to support various animal rescue. And recently I got contacted by the National Ability Center, which is in Park City. They have an equestrian program, and they asked me to do a silent auction donation. And I'm kind of taking that to another level with, we're going to sell a number of discounted sessions, but then we're also going to offer full price sessions at their vintner dinners, which there's 50 of them around town that weekend. And it's $225 minimum to get in to one of those. And for every full price session that I sell through that, I'm going to donate another $100 to the National Ability Center.
Got it. Okay. So you mentioned a few different marketing channels there. One was the events that you go to on a Sunday. Is that what you call it, an event?
It's a farmer's market, basically.
Okay, so the farmer's market.
Yeah, the farmer's market has kind of died out a little bit, and it's more food and local artisans and, yeah, just local artisans for the most part.
Yeah, okay. So between that farmer's market display that you do on a Sunday and say the silent or live auctions, which is the better of those two marketing channels for you?
It's hard to say right now. I don't have enough numbers to say, but if I looked at the numbers with that $18,000 sale, I would definitely say silent auctions. And that came in through actually a live auction with Utah Humane Society. They did not purchase the package, but they called me the next week and booked full price, 3 dogs, 2 cats. I did it at their house. It was combination indoor, outdoor. Really cool family of Springer Spaniels. So you sell what you show, because the picture behind me of the Springer was on display at the Humane Society gala. So galas are really, really a big thing.
So give me an idea of how your business is going now. So you're full-time photography, aren't you? So have you got an idea of your annual revenue?
I do. It's not great. It hasn't been great the last couple of years because I'm getting the ball rolling. I'm also supporting my husband, so there's some of that. As far as social media, you know, things for his job, and he's going solo actually now too. But I quadrupled my income, my revenue between 23 and 22. And I had set a goal to double my revenue per client, and I did that. And that's mostly because of that large sale. But I'm actually tracking my numbers now, which I had not prior to hiring Corinda or getting into her program, which is kind of sad because I'm a numbers girl, right? I'm an engineer. But when it comes to money, I've got the same mindset problems as most of us do.
Yeah, for sure. So again, I'm going to just want to lock down a number here so the listener's got some idea or a better idea about your business. And I do want to dive into the $18,000 sale, which sounds amazing. And I did say that was six times what you were doing. So, I mean, what is it, a $50,000 business or less?
It was 48,200 last year, 48,200.
48,2. Okay. And then so is the goal then for 100, did you say 100,000 this year?
I would love to do that. But last year was quadruple what I did the year before. So,
wow.
You know, building a business is really, to me, you know, it's not like you can turn on the spigot. It's building relationships. It's getting out there and you just got to keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And Corinda talks about it on social media as the rule of 100. You basically need to have 100 nano touch points. And I've heard this other places too. I think the number was 70 nano touch points on social media before people actually are ready to commit to you.
Kim, what's a nano touch point? I've heard of touch point, but not nano touch point.
Well, a nano touch point is basically they see you in their feed. They see you on social media somehow. It's not talking to somebody in person at an event. It's not having them come to your website and sign up for your email newsletter. So your email newsletter, each one of those would be a touch point.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a social media, you know, your attention span is 3 seconds.
Yes.
That's what I mean by nano, literally.
Got it. Okay. So you want to have a lot of those, for people to take action.
Yeah.
Okay. Then so just let me ask you just quickly about the market stalls or store that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're an engineer. You said you're a numbers girl. You know, I guess you spent a lot of time behind the computer. How do you feel when you're at the market and you have to put yourself out there and talk to strangers?
That's a very good question. I'm an introvert. I know a lot of my friends in this business are introverts too. It's hard, especially to begin with, but you've got to just do it. And I hate that phrase, honestly. My husband says to me all the time, just do it. But it's kind of true. You got to get out there and talk to people. And there will be, markets are actually easier than going around and canvassing local pet businesses. I tried doing that. I continue to try doing that. And I've got a targeted campaign, like trying to find clients for the Tales of the World. I participated in Christie's book the last couple of years. And for those, I get out and I talk to different businesses and take flyers. And people are still kind of suspicious when you show up and say, I'm a photographer, because everybody and their brother's a photographer, right? But when you get out there at a market, you can show them, you know, this 2-foot by 3-foot painted portrait of the Springer and the bluebonnets behind me. That makes an awful lot of people smile, even if they don't have dogs. It disarms them a little bit. And it's just nice to see them get that hit of serotonin, because I know that's working for me. And that's part of my branding. That's the purple color, the purple I put into my logo. I really tried to keep my logo simple. It has a story behind it. And it's a little bit whimsical because it's a Disney-esque dog. So it's really trying to tell that whole story. And that's another thing that Park Silly Sunday Market really emphasizes, is that you tell your story to all the people.
You know, you said you're an introvert and it's tough. Like, just tell me, like, do you approach people now and feel comfortable? Do you still get butterflies? Do you get a stomach ache when you see someone coming towards you? Do you wait for them to approach you? Like, how does it work?
I do wait for people mostly to express interest. Corinda would chide me a little bit for that. If they have a dog, go talk to them. But and that's my mindset. That's we're working on that. When people do have dogs and come by, it's a little bit disheartening when they barely give you a second glance. And honestly, if they don't give me a second glance, they're really not my client. You know, accosting them is not gonna, more than likely not going to get me anywhere.
Right. So are you comfortable now talking to someone or do you get those butterflies?
No, I don't actually.
God's great.
People are generally awfully friendly. Occasionally you get somebody that walks by and makes some snide comment about a dog photographer or a pet photographer, but I kind of chalk that up to the, you know, they don't know. They've never seen it before.
Sure. I want to get to Corinda in just 1 second, but you mentioned their silent auctions. Can you just give me and the listener an idea of how that works? I imagine you're putting something up and the people at the silent auction can make a silent bid and the highest bidder wins. What are you putting up and what's in it for you?
At most silent auctions, it's a session plus enough of a product credit or artwork credit for an 8x10, a mounted 8x10. I value that at $445. I simply get the tax write-off. In the case of the Utah Humane Society, they asked for something larger. So I did offer them and they did want to do it in a live auction. So I offered them a large canvas, painterly canvas and session that was worth, you know, valued at $2,400. And the bid went to $3,500.
So who gets the $3,500? Who gets that?
Utah Humane.
Right. So you're out of pocket the session and that large piece of artwork.
Right. So it's roughly $800.
Right. Okay. So what's in that for you?
What's in that for me?
Yes.
That $18,000 sale.
Okay. Hang on. So someone or a family wins or sorry, pays in the auction that amount. That goes to whoever's running the auction.
Right.
You supply the session. You gift the artwork that they've won or they can upgrade. And then what? Then you upsell or they express interest in other things that you've photographed?
Yes.
And buy more?
Yes.
Got it.
Theoretically, that's the deal. But that, you know, $800 that I'm out of pocket also resulted in that $18,000 sale. So, you know, that was worth it to me.
Absolutely. No one would dispute that. So, but that is why I imagine in most cases you want to put up the value of an 8x10,
yeah.
You know, not a 20 by 30 or a 40 by 50 yeah. or something. Right. Got it. Okay. Right. Fantastic.
Right. And I do want some of these pieces out there. The other thing about this auction was that the winner, their portrait was going to be displayed at the Humane Society for a year. So I would have a painterly canvas displayed at the Humane Society. So that's, yeah, that's worth that $800 as well to have that marketing piece there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So it was Alex Cairns that sort of led you down that path and got you going to those things and, you know, getting yourself out there. But then you've mentioned Corinda a few times. Corinda who?
Corinda Kinsler, Master Your Mind and Money. Corinda is out of Texas. She's a horse photographer, equine photographer. But she has put an awful lot of effort and time and money into learning the business side of things. I'd been following her off and on for a couple of years, I think. And last spring, my mindset was such that, you know, I was thinking, this is Utah, you know, because of the agrarian mindset here and the church's influence in frugality. People aren't going to pay luxury prices here, right? My husband, who's a veterinary internal medicine specialist, even was telling me, people aren't going to pay that. You should lower your prices. And I finally bought into that. I lowered my prices. And then I immediately kicked myself in the butt because I knew I was leaving money on the table. I was leaving money on the table before I lowered my prices because my highest sale to date was $3,000. It was a buyout. She wanted all the images and we had set them at $3,000 and that was it.
Right.
And the way Corinda has everything set up, you don't limit your sale. they can keep buying and buying and buying, which, you know, I took the leap, had to have a little faith, won't lie to you. And it's also, you know, the whole methodology that Corinda teaches, and you led me to this, you know, getting on the phone and doing a discovery call. Alex hadn't been promoting that very much. And a lot of the introverts that I know don't like to get on those phone calls. Those were hard for me to start doing, really hard. I had the butterflies then, but I did it. And once I got going with Corinda's way of doing things, I'm seeing that more and more in Facebook groups, you know, doing that discovery call, anchoring the sale, telling people that, you know, my clients typically spend between this and this to anchor them, and then going to the low end, and then tongue in cheek before, you know, saying some of my clients get obsessed with everything, want it all, and spend more than five figures. It's kind of manifestation, right? If you say it often enough, you start believing it, and eventually that client will come in the door that believes it too.
Absolutely. I love that. What's your anchor price these days?
I tell them between $4,000 and $5,000. On the low end, it's 8 mounted 8x10s in a bundle for $1,295. And some clients get obsessed and spend more than five figures.
So good.
And now I can say that truthfully.
I love that. Before I ask you more about Corinda, just give us an idea of how the client was able to spend $18,000. How were they able to spend $18,000 with you? What did they get for that?
Well, that was another thing. Corinda has been really promoting Guild canvases. I looked into Guild, but I did not go with Guild because I have an old friend from print competition days and PPA days in Wisconsin who's actually a rep for Mid-South Color. So I went with their product. And, you know, it's a high-end product. It's museum grade. The Guild is this way too. You can literally wrap them, you know, bang on them, throw spaghetti at them, and you can wipe it off with Windex. And when you add the painterly strokes in acrylic on top of the print, you know, it becomes a painting, essentially. And Mid-South Color provides that service as well, the ghost painters, although I have friends who are ghost painters as well. And I've taken a couple of painting classes too. I need to get going on that. But
sorry, Kim, let me just interrupt here. So a client can purchase a canvas, I'm guessing it's a large canvas, and then your lab prints it, and then they have ghost painters that will add that painterly effect over the top.
It will paint every pixel digitally.
Okay, so there's not an actual texture. There's not real paint. It just looks like a painting.
Actually, there is. There is that option. The photograph is turned into a painting digitally, printed on canvas. I have them mount that on Masonite to make it solid. And then they put an acrylic gel over the top and put the brush strokes in that to match the painting style underneath. And for this Springer in Blue Bonnets, I wanted to have the Blue Bonnets more impressionistic and the dog more detailed. So we did two or three iterations with the artist to get it the way I wanted it. But then you also have the option to embellish that with oil paints. So if you look closely, there are some whites and some blues and some greens, I think even some yellows on the actual painting itself that have been added after the acrylic gel.
Got it. Okay. So take me back to the client. How do they get to $18,000?
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Kim, this has been amazing. Where is the best place for the listener to see your incredible work and fall in love with what you're doing, what you're creating?
I am on all the socials. I frequent LinkedIn and Instagram most. Instagram's probably the best, but there's also my website. It's chilidogphoto.com, chili with an E. The story behind that is I had a chihuahua. My husband came up with it when we lived in Albuquerque. Chilis are a thing, lots of chihuahuas. And I had, you know, I had a picture of a Chihuahua at a shelter in Texas. So I had that turned into a Disney character.
Love it. I love the logo. It's so good. It's so good. Look, I'll link to your website and the socials in the show notes for this episode. And we've got to get a photo of the one we've been referencing with the spaniel. Is it spaniel behind you?
Yes, English Springer Spaniel, yes.
We'll get that in the show notes as well. So look, if we were to chat in 12 months' time, where would you love to see your business? Where do you expect it to be? Where would you love to see it?
I would love to see a $5,000 average this year. And with... You're going to hold me to this, aren't you?
I'm writing it down.
How many clients did I have? Let's say 40 clients. So that's grossing 200.
Unreal. I love that. What a goal.
That'd be crazy, huh? Well, it's February. I've got a lot of people to contact about or get back in touch with about spring sessions. But being Utah, it's kind of dicey to put them on the calendar ahead of time.
Yeah, sure. And what you've said there, I mean, that's... Certainly 40 clients, that sounds doable. And 5K average, that's doable as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I had 36 clients last year. So yeah, if I can get the $4,000 or $5,000 average, I'll be happy.
Yeah, that's a massive jump up from what you've had in past years. And from what you've achieved so far, it certainly seems doable. So yeah, I am going to hold you to it. I'm going to be checking in.
Please do.
Kim, it's been fantastic to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on, for sharing everything you have. Can't wait to follow along and see how things pan out.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Andrew. And thank you for your help on this journey.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Kim. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kim Coolman as much as I did. Kim, if you are listening, again, thank you so much for coming on, for sharing everything you did about your business, your marketing, your sales, your dreams and aspirations. It really was a pleasure to talk to you, and I know, well, I'm sure the listener got a ton from what you had to share. For you, the listener, I do hope I am correct in saying that. I hope you did get a ton from what Kim did have to share. The good news, well, there are a couple of good things here. Firstly, if you want to see more from Kim, go and check out the show notes for today's episode. Her photography truly is amazing. I've got examples of her work in the show notes, and they are at photobizx.com/558. I've also got links to anywhere and everywhere you can find Kim in the show notes. Plus, you'll be happy to know that this is a kind of part one of a two-part interview series where I'm going to have Kim's photography business coach, Corinda Kinsler, on the podcast next week, so we can learn more from her and the way she helps other photographers around the world in their businesses. Oh, and I should add, if you are a premium member, you'll find Kim in the PhotoBiz X premium members Facebook group. So if you do have a follow-up question, or you just want to say thanks for coming on and sharing what you did, you can do that inside the Facebook group. And I'll be adding Corinda into that same Facebook group when her interview goes live next week as well. So if you've got pricing or price list questions, product questions, or if you just want to, again, ask anything that I didn't go deep enough into in regards to Kim's interview today, hit her up there inside the members Facebook group.
It's shout out time.
It's getting noisy in here, so I am going to cut straight to the chase here. I've got two big shout outs. The first one goes to Pennsylvania portrait based photographer Trevor Yanyan. He's obviously in the USA, and he left a fantastic Google review. He says, "The PhotoBizX podcast is an absolutely priceless podcast for anyone who wants to level up their business success as a photographer, no matter if you are running a side gig or looking to go all in. Go premium and get those goals even faster." So big thanks to you, Trevor, for taking the time to leave that review. It really is a big help to me, and it helps other photographers find the podcast. The second big shout out is also related to a Google review, and this is a 5-star review from dog photographer Kim Jongen, or Jongen. She's based in the Netherlands, and she left a fantastic review. She says, "I listen every week to Andrew's podcast, and there is so much to learn from. Whatever niche you're in, this is the podcast you don't want to miss. Keep up the good work. Greeting from the Netherlands, Kim." So Also to you, Kim, massive thanks for taking the time to leave that Google review. It really is a huge help to me. To both you, Kim, and to you, Trevor, I've left a link using a keyword phrase that you're looking to rank for in the show notes for today's episode to help you with your SEO. And that offer is extended to you if you are listening to the podcast and you haven't left a review for the PhotoBizX podcast. Simply leave an honest review in Google or iTunes. Let me know that you've done that. Let me know a keyword phrase that you're looking to rank for and a URL you'd like me to link to, and I'll be happy to add a backlink from the PhotoBizX website to help you with your SEO. And if you want to leave a review, simply go to photobizx.com/Google to access the Google reviews, or photobizx.com/iTunes to access the Apple podcast reviews. Super easy. Should only take you a couple of minutes, and it's a great way to get a backlink pointing to your website, just like both Kim and Trevor have done this week. Alrighty, that is going to wrap up this episode of the podcast. I hope the background noise hasn't been too bad. There's whippersnippering, leaf blowing, and lawn mowing going on outside my window here. So I do apologize for that. I hope it's been acceptable in regards to audio quality, and I'll do my best to avoid all those background noises for next week's episode. Alrighty, that really is it for me. Have a fantastic week wherever you are in the world. Stay safe, healthy, and well, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.